Hey, friends, and welcome to episode 221 of It's About Time, a podcast sharing stories and strategies to inspire better work, life, and balance. I'm your host, Anna Dearman-Gornick, time management coach and author of Time Management Essentials. And a lot of times, when we think about time management and especially productivity, our mind tends to go to the idea of fast, as in getting more done in less time, crossing off more on our to-do list during the day, working more efficiently, working faster, working smarter, not harder. It's not hard to find lists on lists of productivity hacks online so you can clean your house faster, organize your closet in 15 minutes, and prep 30 quick and easy meals for your family in 5 minutes or less. If your family is anything like mine, especially in the mornings when we are trying to get out the door to go to school, it can really feel like all of our time is spent rushing around. We're hurrying to get dressed. We're hurrying to eat breakfast. We're hurrying to put on shoes and load up the car so we're not late. All of this hurrying, the go, 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 and the working faster and faster can be a little exhausting. Do you agree? It's kind of like running double time on a hamster wheel or turning up the speed on a treadmill. Sure, we're moving faster, but where are we really going? And that's exactly why I jumped at the chance to spend time with today's podcast guest, Stephanie O'Day. Instead of living life in the fast lane, Stephanie's all about taking things slow, living with intention, and being authentic to who you are all along the way. If you haven't met Stephanie yet, well, let me tell you all about her. Stephanie O'Day is a New York Times best-selling author of 10 books, and she's the host of the Slow Living podcast. She teaches strategies to meet personal and professional goals in a slow, steady, and sustainable way with no hustle required. She lives in the San Francisco Bay Area with her husband, their three daughters, and a basset hound named Sheldon. In today's conversation with Stephanie, we talk about how Stephanie's desire to spend quality time with her family opened the door for her to become a successful crockpot blogger. Oh yeah, if you're a crockpot fan, you are definitely going to love this episode. We also talk about the concept of compartmentalization in managing all of the different roles in your life. We discuss how setting boundaries with social media can support slow living, and Stephanie shares the importance of reflection and intentional planning for personal growth and living life at your own speed. As usual, you know you can find all the details for this episode over in the show notes at abouttimepodcast.com/221. So if you're interested in living life out of the fast lane, while still making the most of your time, grab a cup of coffee and make sure to listen to this conversation all the way to the end, because trust me, you are not going to want to miss a minute. And with that, it's about time we get started. So let's get this show on the road.
You're listening to It's About Time, a podcast about work, life, and balance. Around here, we believe that busy is not a badge of honor. Your host, Anna Dearman-Cornick, is here to share tips and strategies to help you make the most of your time. Listen in on real conversations and success stories to find out how other go-getters are getting things done. If you're ready to step away from the overwhelm and spend your time on what matters most, then you're in the right place. Here's your host, time management coach, Anna Dearman-Cornick.
Hey, Stephanie. Welcome to It's About Time. I am so excited to spend time with you today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I got to tell you, you are just a breath of fresh air because you are a real person. And we had a whole bunch of tech issues, and you were calm and cool and collected. And I can tell you are awfully good at what you do because, okay, we're just going to try this again. Okay, we're just going to try this again. And that's what real life is.
Absolutely. That's what real life is. Yeah. I feel like I should add to my LinkedIn profile at this point, sound engineer or AV expert, because the random sound issues and the technical side of walking people through recording a podcast. Yeah, here we are. I've come a long way since episode one. So thank you for your patience.
That's okay. I live in Silicon Valley, and the amount of tech bros that I'm around, there's a lot. They're like pigeons. They're kind of everywhere. But I will take you any day.
That is so funny. Well, Stephanie, I shared with everybody the official Stephanie O'Day bio in the intro, but I would love to hear from you in your own words. How do you spend your time these days?
I like to say that I'm a mom first and foremost. So my kids are older. They're now 22, 19, and 14. But I went back to work when my oldest got into college, and I am a school site secretary, which is essentially a mom to all the people all of the time. So I joke that I mom the principal, and I mom the teachers and the students, and most definitely the parents. But I love it. I love every bitty bit of it. And maybe sometimes it sounds a little backwards feminist, but one of the reasons I got started writing online was I wanted to stay home with my babies when they were little. And I was super fortunate that I got to stay home for 12 years and write online. I actually got started writing crockpot recipes. And it took off. It was great. It was wonderful. It filled my needs, and I got to be a full-time mom.
I love that. I wouldn't even say that's reverse feminist at all, because it is stepping into how you want to spend your time while still having that aspect of providing. You weren't just writing for fun. You were able to make that decision of, I want to stay home. I want to be with my kids, but I also want to contribute in some way. Yeah. How can I figure out what that looks like, and how can I play to my strengths? That is incredibly inspiring, because I know there are people listening right now on their way to work thinking, I wish I didn't have to go.
I know. So I do feel incredibly fortunate and lucky. And I love it that you are giving me credit for having decided to do this on purpose. Really, I wish I had the foresight to have decided it on purpose. I sort of fell backwards into it, in that on paper, everything looked phenomenal. I was running preschool centers. I'd gone to school for child psychology and development, and I was living what I thought was correct, and my kids could come to work with me. But my youngest at the time was a little shy from two, and she just was vomiting sporadically, and we couldn't figure it out. And so I quit. I quit on the spot, and I called my husband. He's, yeah, no, we live in the San Francisco area. And in case you haven't noticed, Steph, things are expensive here. So you do have to work. So flash forward, she's totally fine now. We realized that it was celiac disease, which is a gluten intolerance, which of course everyone knows now, but back in the day, it just wasn't as prevalent and we didn't know. So she's totally fine. But again, I live in the Silicon Valley area. So I realized that there were moms just like me making money from home writing. And I liked the idea of it, but we're a rather private family. So I didn't want to start a traditional mom blog and write about poop and share pictures of my kids all day long. So I liked the tight SEO, which is search engine optimization, of a recipe site, but I actually don't really like cooking. So after a few glasses of wine at a Christmas party, I had this like epiphany, like, I'm going to write a recipe site, but since I don't cook and I just use my crockpot, it's going to be just crockpot recipes. And so in 2008, I made a New Year's resolution to use a crockpot slow cooker every day for a year and write about it online. And it took off. It did really, really well. And knock on wood, I was able to make a full-time income writing a few hours a day in my pajamas while I had little kids around the house. And honestly, it's fun for me to talk to you, because when I got started, my kids were roughly around the same age as your kids are now.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Stephanie, that is amazing that it all stemmed from, no, I want to figure this out for my kid. I want to be there for them. We're going to figure this out. and you figured it out. You figured out. I mean, the glasses of wine certainly helped in helping the epiphany, right?
That's where my creativity comes from.
But that is genius. I mean, there are probably tons of people listening to this episode right now thinking, oh, I bet I've used one of her crockpot recipes before.
So the funny thing is I actually, I got started early enough that Pinterest wasn't a thing yet. Mm-hmm. But then later there was a picture of me hugging my crockpot. And if you zoom in, I am in front of a Christmas tree. But the Pinterest people zoomed in on my dirty socks. And that's all they were talking about is, oh, this lady in her socks. And I'm thinking at the time, I had a three-year-old and a baby and all this stuff. And we have hardwood floors. So yes, I'm certain that if you did zoom in, my socks weren't the cleanest. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry, internet.
Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, first of all, you decided to go the crockpot recipe route because you didn't want to share all of that kind of lifestyle stuff. Also, further proof that you don't have to be a blogger influencer type in order to have a flexible, make a flexible living, flexible full-time living online. You don't have to show your face. I mean, you can. You don't have to show your dirty socks, but you can.
Yeah.
And either way, like, that's not even the point. Gosh, the internet is ridiculous.
It is. It really is. And it's interesting because we're recording this in March of 2024. And right now, Kate Middleton, so Princess Kate, is all over the news for photoshopping something. Right. And that's what we do now. We all have a phone in our hands. We all have this high-powered camera. And if you've got a zit or if you have dirty socks or you have something, your instinct is, well, I can't put it on the internet because they're going to rip me apart. So I'm going to edit it. And so poor Kate, who's recovering from surgery, did this. And now they're tearing her all apart. You can't get away from it.
It's wild. It's wild. And it's enough to make you want to delete social media and just go hide in your neighborhood and be a hermit. Sometimes.
Yeah. So I do. Is that weird that I have fantasies about that? Every once in a while, I ask my husband, I'm like, so if we sold everything right now and lived in a tiny house off the grid, could we make it? And he's like, yes. I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, do you want to do that? I'm like, no. But I do like knowing that it's an option.
Right. Great. Love knowing that it's an option. Okay. So Stephanie, you have older kids now. Your youngest is 14. Mm-hmm. You are in the mom role, not just for your family, but also for the school that you work for as a secretary. What else does life look like for you?
Yeah. So life is fun right now because I have enough wisdom and enough evidence that following my gut and my intuition works. And so I spend a lot of time right now coaching. So I coach about slow living, which is essentially being a mom to the moms and letting them know it will be okay. So my acronym that I use for slow living and for slow is to simply look only within. Ooh. So the idea that as hard as it is, try to tune out the noise and the nonsense and ask yourself some good questions. And is this what I want? Is this what I want for my kids? Does this feel right? So I knew at the time it didn't feel right to pull the baby out of the crib and wasn't feeling the best and bring her to work with me every day. It felt wrong. And I'm terribly thankful that, and privileged. I absolutely acknowledge that there's a lot of privilege there, that I was able to quit and kind of really think things through and figure out, well, what is the next best step to take for me and for these kids? What kind of lifestyle am I trying to create for them? And yes, we said no to some lucrative streams of income. And for me, definitely when I first got started writing online, I was told I was leaving money on the table and would never be able to make it because I wouldn't put the picture of my kids on the internet. But for me and for my ethics and morals, it just didn't feel right. And so thankfully, I now can look back and I do have enough collective evidence that following my instinct paid off. And so that's what I would hope to honor you and for your listeners and for anyone who's like, gosh, I just don't know. And I just want you to hit the pause button for a little bit and really think things through and trust that when you follow that kind of inner voice and guidance, and if you're religious, it's the voice of God or the voice of the universe, whatever feels good for you, to just trust that you're on the right path.
Okay, y'all, so I know we could all probably use a little more time in our day, right? You're no stranger to busy schedules and intentionally filling them up to the brim because you just have so much to get done. But sometimes it feels like you don't really ever have the time to just slow down and enjoy the simple things. Simple things like when my toddlers are giggling and playing nicely together in the backyard, or when a Sunday afternoon nap sounds too good to pass up. We all want more time to enjoy these kinds of things, right? Well, if you love personality quizzes like I do, then you're in for a treat. In my new quiz, which you can take for free at annadcornick.com/quiz, I'm helping you uncover what it will take to get you from chaos to calm, to finally feel like you have space in your days. I know it can feel downright frustrating to keep using the same old time management strategies that just don't seem to work for you. You've got the planners, the calendars, the apps, you're doing all the things, but you still feel like you have no time. And that's because you need time management strategies that work for your personality and your life. In my 10 plus years working in crisis communications and chaos management, and all the time I've spent with my clients, I've learned that everyone has their own needs. And knowing what those needs are can really help you discover the best approach to planning your days. Knowing yourself can help you ease up busy schedules and find more calm and clarity in your week. Do you want to know how to get there? To have more breathing room in your days? Let's figure out your time management personality type so you can uncover exactly what you need to do to feel more productive, less stressed, and more balanced. You can take the quiz at annadcornick.com/quiz, and I'll make sure to link to the quiz in our show notes. All right, on with the show.
Mm-hmm. You know, this reminds me a lot of the core values work that I'll dig into with my clients because, you know, we already have these values that live within us, even if we have not articulated them or written them in fancy script on a pretty poster or made a vision board about them. You have them even if you don't realize it. Yeah. And whenever you feel that friction or that tug or, oh, this doesn't feel right to me. I don't quite know why. I can't quite put it into elegant words, but this doesn't feel right. Those are your values speaking. And that is that within that you can listen for. And the more you listen, the more you begin to understand what it is that's talking, what those values are that are speaking to you. So I absolutely love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. But, you know, Stephanie, I've got to know, between coaching and being a mom to your kids and the teachers and the principal and the students and the parents at school, how do you do all of those things? How do you make all of that work within your life and still embrace slow living?
So it's interesting. I am a big compartmentalizer. I am in my brain, they're kind of snapshot images, and I kind of like the idea of a public storage unit where you can see all of the different garage doors and the different compartments are in there. And so I'll step into different roles. And when I'm in the middle of coaching someone, I'm fully focused on them. The phone is off. The kids all know, okay, mom's going into a meeting. And obviously, yes, there's a few bypasses if there's a medical emergency and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
All of those things.
But, disclaimer.
Yeah, disclaimer. But in general, where I'm at, that's the here and the now. And that's what to focus on. And a big part of slow living is being present and then trusting that the future will play itself out and leaving the past, as hard as it is, but leaving the past in the past. a lot of times you'll envision kind of a picture of a ruler, and the only part to pay attention to is the part you're in right now. In spiritual terms, they talk about the future as, and worry is you're worrying about things you don't want to happen. And it's hard. If you've got an anxious brain, I have a very anxious brain and I'm constantly worried about so-and-so is going off to college and what are we going to do and blah, blah, blah. And that fear-based anxiety is truly sometimes praying for something you don't want to happen. So try not to give it as much attention as possible. And then earlier when you were talking about just honoring your own core values and your own morals and ethics. There was one time I was filmed for an infomercial and it was fun. It was for a ninja cooking system. Loved everything about it. They did my hair and makeup and it was the first time I wore fake eyelashes. So I really, really liked it. but they wanted me to take a bite of beef stew and then look in the camera and say, "This is the best beef stew I've ever had." I'm like, so that doesn't feel right. Like, I mean, beef stew is beef stew. I'm not going to say that. I can't say that. And the guy's, "Sure you can. It's right there in the teleprompter." And I'm like, okay. So I didn't, which is probably why I don't have a long career in QVC. But I switched it to, "Wow, this is great tasting beef stew." Like, I could say that. But in general, I think we all know that beef stew really does sort of all taste the same, regardless of how you cook it. And then with the cookbooks and stuff, one of the biggest shifts of why I went back to work was I got fired. I got fired by my agent and the book publishers because when the Instant Pot hit the market, they wanted me to translate all of the slow cooker recipes to pressure cooker Instant Pot recipes. And I bought one and I just don't like it. I just didn't like it. My brain doesn't work that way. I think the tech part is fantastic. Great, you can cook a frozen chicken in 45 minutes. But for me, why I liked the slow cookers and the crock pots was I'm an early riser. I do struggle with anxiety and decision fatigue. So the fact that I could cook dinner at 8 a.m. and then never, ever, ever think about it again was such a relief. And so I understand for some people, cooking a frozen chicken at 5 o'clock at night is great. But I didn't want to have to do that then. So that's sort of how the whole shift to slow living started was I knew I didn't want to write pressure cooker recipes. And I sort of had this voice of God kind of experience where it was like, so you know what, Steph? Just because you can do something fast, it doesn't necessarily mean you should. And so that's when I thought, okay, this is the next best thing for me to do.
Wow. And I'm just trying to think about how on earth would you have, with integrity, made this public transition from slow living and slow cooker recipes to what? Instant living? Super speedy living?
I know. It literally goes against like every fiber of my being. Like it feels so offensive to me. That said, I get it. People like it. Don't send me hate. Well,
right. For sure. I absolutely get it. I mean, you had to stay true to who you were. And you know what? For some people who started in the slow cooker space, making the transition to Instant Pot may have felt like a natural next step to them because their core belief was in the ease of cooking.
Yeah. Or maybe they were foodies. Like I've gone to food conferences and I feel like posers because people are going on and on and on. I'm like, okay, well, I just needed to feed my family. I get it. You have a very sophisticated palate. I do not. Right. I do not.
Love that for you. Right. That is wild. I'm so glad that your story evolved in the way that it did. It grew in the way that it did because it did so because you stayed true to who you are. I have a question about compartmentalization, you know, because you mentioned that your brain is like a storage unit and you've got all these different compartments and you open one and go into it. And then
I'm sure Dr. Phil would have a field day with my brain.
I love it. Well, it almost makes me picture Taylor Swift's Lover House, that each room in the Lover House is like a different one of her albums. And that's what I picture when I picture someone who compartmentalizes. Yeah. And I got to know, have you always been that way? Have you always been someone who compartmentalizes? Because I talk with people often who say, you know, I'm told that I might feel more organized if I were to compartmentalize, but my brain doesn't work that way.
Yeah. So it's interesting. In psychology, they talk about code switching and stepping into different roles. And I think intuitively, I've always sort of known that. Okay, so I'm in school right now and I'm going to sit up straight with my back straight and fold my hands because I want the teacher to know I'm listening. And even if my brain is really thinking about how I want to go home and read the Babysitter's Club books, I need to pay attention to the teacher. So I was able to kind of fulfill that role. And same with going into church. I knew, okay, so when I'm in church, I can't fidget and I need to cross my legs and do all of the things that I needed to do. So. And sometimes some people can make you feel bad about that. And, oh, well, you're not authentic. So I'm
you're
the same,
a shapeshifter.
I know. Yeah. But I'm the same person. I know if I'm with my girlfriends and we're talking in a certain way, it's okay to swear. I also know it's not okay to swear in church. So I'm not going to do it. I'm still the exact same person. I still have the same morals and ethics. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend that this is the best tasting beef stew I've ever had in my whole entire life because it's not. So you can be you and you can be authentic, but also, quote unquote, play the role. And so at work, when I'm Mrs. O'Day at work, it's still me, but I'm accessing like different bodies of knowledge or research. So I know you, for your background, you have different bodies of knowledge and research that all of a sudden, depending on who you're in front of, it just falls off your tongue. And other times you're like, not you, but in general, I can't even remember how I got into this room. So like that, but that's just real life. And so I think acknowledging that and not beating yourself up for being a human and not a robot is really important, and it's valuable. And it's something I want to model to my kids, that you can cram for a test and know everything, but then 2 years later, if someone asks you about it, you're like, so I know I learned that, but I really can't answer you right now. And that doesn't mean you're fake. You just don't know it anymore.
Right. It's like that Pixar movie, Inside Out, where after a while, some of your memories just kind of go into a pit and then they disintegrate because you don't need them anymore.
You don't need them
anymore. Fine. That doesn't change who you are as a person. It just means that you're making room for new things.
Yeah. And then one other thing with the compartmentalizing, and especially if you're a parent, you end up having muscle memory. So if you are in the middle of something, but you hear a crying baby, you will switch. And so trust yourself that you're not going to forget that you have a kid. It will be fine, but you can be fully focused at work. But if someone like me, the school secretary, calls and says, hey, so I've seen this kind of injury before and she's going to need stitches, I need you to come right now. You're going to be like, got it. And I'm going to spring now into action mode.
Okay. So speaking of springing into action mode and all of, you know, life's unpredictabilities, we live in a really fast moving world. I mean, 24/7 news cycle. People, I say like personalities and people on Instagram who set off the comparison game in us, making us feel like we're not far enough along in life, or we're not moving fast enough, or we haven't progressed in our career, or we haven't grown our business, or we haven't built the house, or any number of things out there around us can cause us to feel like we are behind and that we are not enough. And a lot of times our answer to that is either to just kind of give up out of frustration and, you know, let Netflix keep playing, or to try and speed up. Maybe if I work more hours, maybe if I make more calls or pound the pavement more, then I'll get where I want to be. And it really feels like slow living is in a huge conflict with the world that we live in. So how can we approach the idea of slow living in the fast world that we live in?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And honestly, if I had a way to hug all of you and just ensure from the depths of my soul that you are enough and you are doing the right thing and your kids will be okay, even if they're not scheduled to every nanosecond of their life and they can't speak 12 languages and play, I don't know, Suzuki violin on their head. They will be okay. It will be fine. But it's tricky. And a lot of it is kind of tuning out the noise and the nonsense. So in yoga, we talk about keep your eye on your own mat. And a big part of that is if you're watching someone else, you will fall over on your mat if you're doing a yoga move. And then in school, we talk about keep your eyes on your own paper and stop paying attention. And social media is designed to addict you and to pull you in. And it's this look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me kind of thing. And it's tricky because without social media, I would not have met you. And a big part of the women that I work with, they find me through social media. And so it is, for me, a lot of the compartmentalization and time blocking of I'm going to decide on purpose. I am going to log in at this time. And then when the timer goes off, I am done. For me, social media is not enjoyable for keeping up with friends. My real friends call me or text me. Social media is a part of my job. And so I log in on the desktop computer. I do not have the apps on my phone. And I'm in work mode. If I'm in, I want to goof off scroll mode, then I log in with a different account. And I just scroll and goof off and realize this is just kind of mindless numbing. But I have to put parameters on myself. Because I'm a human and I will get sucked down a rabbit hole and click and sometimes accidentally buy things I don't want or need. Because again, yeah, I am a real human. I'm like, I didn't know I had this kind of saggy skin and now I feel bad about myself. So I'm going to buy this thing. So there you go.
It happens. I bought something the other day on Instagram called Cakes and I'm not even going to go into what it is.
I do like cake. It has nothing to do with what you eat.
It has nothing to do with what you eat. Yes. But same thing. I'm like, oh, well, I need that. So I'm going to – and then they arrived. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I bought that.
I know. I accidentally bought this.
it really can happen. And, you know, time management pitfalls 101 is that Parkinson's law states that work expands to fill the time available. Yeah. And it's the same thing for social media or scrolling or TikTok or reading romance novels or Netflix, whatever it is, all of it expands indefinitely unless we put a boundary around it ourselves or unless there is some type of externally, you know, imposed or inflicted boundary. You know, a kid, one of your children needs you, right. Or it's time for a work call. Let me put my phone down.
Yeah.
And so
let's circle and highlight what you just said, because I think we can all envision the strapped parent scrolling the phone and the four-year-old is frantically trying to get your attention and the parent keeps putting their finger up. Just one more second.
One more second. Work expands to fill the time available. And so does everything else. And so giving yourself those parameters like you do, give me some specifics. Like, what does it look like for you to put parameters on that? Do you give yourself 15 minutes a day or is it just I'm in an Instagram mood? Let me set a timer for 10. What does that look like for you?
Yeah. So I am a big fan of timers, mostly because I think I would love to have a personal assistant that I could boss around. So instead, I boss Siri around. I'm like, hey, Siri, set a timer for 10 minutes. Yeah. So, and I mean, oh, she's listening. Okay. Give hey, Siri, raise. Canceled timer. Oh, that's funny.
It's canceled.
Okay. Way to go, Siri. And today's guest is Siri.
Yeah. But I do that. I did it with my own kids for cleaning because it's really hard to argue with a timer. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to have a 10-minute tidy, I'll set the timer for 10 minutes. When we had three kids in the house, that's five of us doing a 10-minute tidy. That's 50 collective minutes of cleaning. That's a lot of cleaning. You can whip the entire house in shape if we're all actually working. For me right now, I like Bravo TV a lot. Mm-hmm. I am addicted to, and addicted is in quotes because I know there's people with actual addiction.
Right.
Below Deck. Love Below Deck. So thankfully, my husband put a TV in front of the treadmill. So if I'm in the mood to binge watch Below Deck, I'll just walk at the same mm-hmm. time. So I'm making my steps. I'm making me happy. And if I want to continue watching, I'm going to continue walking. So it's those type of things. And then also as far for me for social media, this is going to sound absurd and you don't have to do this and nor does anyone else, but I get up at 4 a.m.
Okay.
And I get up at 4 a.m. because it's my time and mm-hmm. the dog's not awake. My husband's not awake and I can do whatever I want without judgment. So mm-hmm. I'll drink my coffee nice and slow. I can scroll social media. I like Reddit. I read Reddit. And mm-hmm. then he gets up at 5 and then I start working and I start doing things. Often I'll have a coaching call at 5:30 because many of my clients are on the East Coast. But yeah, that's just what I do. And I just find that I don't need that kind of dopamine fix of the social media. I am fine. I prefer giving myself gold stars rather than random people on the internet. And a lot of mm-hmm. it is because I have been online for as long as I have, sometimes it's just not good for my brain. I'll log into mm-hmm. Amazon and I'll read a negative review on one of my books and it spirals me for a few days. And it's just not healthy if I get a bad podcast review, it makes me really sad. So it's just better to stay away.
Yeah. It reminds me of the concept of an information diet.
Mm, I like that term.
Mm-hmm. Information diet, because you're very intentionally choosing what you decide to take in. And your aim is to consume things that nourish you rather than a whole bunch of potato chips. Don't get me wrong. Some potato chips. But
also there's a time and a place.
Right. Exactly. So if someone is listening and they're thinking, okay, Stephanie, I'm in. Like, how can I really embrace slow living, this idea of slow living right now? Like, what is something that I can do just to help myself slow down? Because there's not any openings in my calendar right now. And everything's crazy. And we've got to do all the kids' activities. And I'm pretty overwhelmed. But how can I take one small step into slow living?
Yeah. So if you were to work with me, my first suggestion would probably be to journal. And a lot of people do brain dump journaling. I prefer a little bit more of a guided approach. Otherwise, you're rehashing a trauma that happened 15 years ago that probably you shouldn't work with me. You should go meet with a therapist. But so on stephanieoday.com/daily, there's a guided journaling worksheet. Download it and give it a try, probably a week, but when you fill it in, and what's interesting about an open-ended question is your subconscious gives you the answer. So the first question is, how do you want to feel today? And then just wait and pause. Maybe you want to feel productive. Maybe you want to feel powerful. Maybe you want to feel confident. But then based on how it is you want to feel, then you start planning in your day. Okay, well, how are you going to get there? Great. Now you know these things. Let's schedule it into your calendar to make this happen.
I love this. We will definitely link this in the show notes so you can check it out because this is great. And it's such a practical, tangible way to begin incorporating these intentional questions and reflection without rehashing, because there's a difference between reflection and rehashing. And this really gives you that space to stop, pause, let your subconscious make the connections and speak, and then go for it. This is wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing this resource.
No, absolutely. Well, it ties an awful lot into your time management teaching, because mm-hmm. in order to actually make change happen, you actually have to schedule it in. And it doesn't sound fun and it sounds like work, but really that's what kind of has to happen. If it's on the calendar and you've made an appointment and it's going to schedule, you're not going to stand up your kid's dentist. So don't stand up yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. That me time isn't going to schedule itself. You've got to carve out the space and do it. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for such an amazing conversation today. I know I feel uplifted. I feel excited. And I also feel like I want to step into the rest of my day with even more intention and just make deliberate choices about what am I taking in? How do I want to embrace my version of slow living? And so, Stephanie, how can we continue to stay in touch and learn from you?
Sure, absolutely. Well, if you're a podcast listener, which you must be, the podcast is called The Slow Living Podcast. The crockpot recipes are all online at ayearofslowcooking.com. There's a good thousand of them or so. And then my name is Stephanie O'Day. I'm very Googleable. But honestly, if you're following Anna, you already have that correct mindset. And I just want you to know that you're not behind and you're doing the right thing. And you're taking care of yourself is what helps you take care of these little baby beings in your house. And you're just so lucky. And I promise that if we're lucky, life is long and do not feel behind. It'll all be okay.
Wonderful. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much. Really appreciated your time today. And I look forward to talking with you soon.
You bet.
And there you have it. I don't know if you could tell, but I was totally blown away by the fact that Stephanie's simple desire to spend more time with her family led her to find a way to make money online, which then evolved to 10 books and a mission to inspire others to live slowly. Her story sheds light on how taking things slow clearly isn't just about cooking. It's a whole lifestyle. Slow can be sweet, and maybe we don't have to be in such a hurry all the time. So whether you're wrestling with career stuff or you're trying to make family life work, or you're just searching for a peaceful moment, ask yourself what life would look like if you just slowed down a bit. You might be surprised at how living the slow life can get you exactly where you need to be at just the right time. Thanks again for listening, friends, and I look forward to talking with you soon.
Thanks for listening to It's About Time, a podcast about work, life, and balance. Head over to www.abouttimepodcast.com to join the conversation. Check out the show notes and dive into bonus content so you can start living your best life today. Love this episode? Be sure to share it with a friend, subscribe, and leave a review. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.